welcome to In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. We're broadcasting live from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville, inside for tonight's show. And, Rich, a lot of activity going on around town here with the trick-or-treaters going around town. So a lot of folks dressed up in costume, and fortunately for us, we didn't need to. I think I've always been told I've got a good face for radio, and that's scary enough.
You and I both.
Well, Coach, coming off a good win in the homecoming matchup against Northeastern State, kind of took care of business early there.
Yeah, we did. You know, defensively, we were pretty dominant. Gave up three first downs in the football game, two of them by penalty. Held them minus 16 yards rushing. I don't off the top of my head remember the total yards, but it wasn't a whole heck of a lot. Offensively, we got going, scored some points early. I think we hit the pause button a little bit in the second half, had some miscues, and that's something we worked hard the last 3 weeks to try and address. But, you know, all in all, it was a pretty good day.
Now, let's talk just a little bit about Keshawn Griffin. He had a big afternoon getting the Don Black Award, the Special Teams Player of the Week Award from the MIAA as well. Of course, Don Black given to the outstanding Bearcat in a homecoming game at Northwest. But, boy, he just did everything you could ask for him on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. He's electric when he gets the ball in his hands. You know, the thing, he looks so fluid out there. He doesn't look as fast as he is. And I can assure people when you get him on the when you're on the field level, he's fast. And get him the ball in space, and he's just extremely dynamic.
And by that, does you think he takes some of the opponents by surprise a little bit with that speed? Or?
Well, you know, he was injured earlier in the season and, you know, has been battling his way back through that, and is just finally starting to trend back towards healthy, you know. And so I think they caught a glimpse of it the first couple weeks. But, you know, either being out or being limited in the number of reps he was taking, obviously, you know, guys look at film and don't see him as being as big of a role as what he can actually be when he's full go.
No, just looking at his numbers from Saturday, 220 all-purpose yards, four receptions, 86 yards, a touchdown, three punt returns, 114 yards in punt returns, and that 164-yarder was a big one for
him. Yeah, it absolutely was. You know, he just, if you give him a little bit of space, he's gone, and he just makes a lot of things happen on those special teams units.
Well, you've got the home stretch here, three games to close out the season with the road matchup against UNK, and then back home for Missouri Southern on the road to Emporia State. As you look at the team coming into this, you feel good where the team has developed up to this point here?
I don't know that I'd ever say I feel good. Cautiously optimistic is what I'd probably say. You know, we're just trying to get the continuity back. I've said that week in and week out on the radio. We're starting to get guys trending back to healthy. You know, so that's good. But just having the same 11 guys out on the field, particularly on offense together, is going to be big for us down the stretch.
And, again, we are broadcasting live from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville on In the Trenches. And our special guest today, Dr. Pat Hart, the team physician for the Bearcats, and Liz Thiemann, the head athletic trainer for football at Northwest Missouri State. And, boy, these two people have had their work cut out for them this year, haven't they?
Not just this year, but, you know, I've been around a long time, and they're such an instrumental part of everything we do within football. And couldn't do this without them. But yes, this year in particular, they've been busy.
And Doc Hart, just you've been a part of this for, I know you were talking last year, you're just short of 50 years right now. What's the total years you've been a part of the program?
Well, this is year 49. With God willing, I'll make it another one to 50, and after that, we'll talk.
Your golden anniversary in
golden
the football field, right? All right, I like it.
I imagine you've seen not only with football, but just all the sports where you've been involved with things. It must be something special just to go back that far and to have a special relationship with a lot of the student athletes. That come
well, I think it's what's kept me alive, actually. You know, the stresses of a busy medical practice are fairly huge, and the fields of battle are where I could enjoy and relax a little bit. And when, you know, that's what I guess that's what I fed off of for many years, you know. And,
well,
you know, not get only a relationship with those kids. I tell them that I'm Peter Pan because they're 18 to 23, and I don't feel like I got any older.
Yeah, and really not only what you do for the Bearcats, but also you've been involved through the years out of Maryville High School, too.
Yes, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes basically when the Bearcats were on the road, most of the time I would miss the games on Friday night. But when they're in town, I double duty, and sometimes if the games are close enough, I can do the Hounds Friday night and drive to the Bearcat game on Saturday. But you know, it's just part of my DNA, I guess.
And Liz, let's just talk about coming into Northwest Missouri State. You had a long ways to come to get to Maryville, Missouri from New York and University of Connecticut.
Yes, yes, I did. I'm still surprised that I ended up here, but it's been great. It's been a 5 years, I think, but it's been really good.
And just what, I guess, getting your master's at Northwest, that was the main reason that you ended up here in Maryville to begin with?
Yes, I did. My mentor at UConn actually knew Kelly Quinlan from a committee they had been on, and he knew I wasn't really looking for a Division II or even anywhere in this area, but knew my goals and what I wanted to do with athletic training, and he just knew that Kelly would be a great mentor for me, so I actually interviewed at Indiana State and then here, and same weekend, and I decided that this was going to be where I was going to be. So then I left, and I didn't think I was going to come back, and here I am.
Yeah, I wait for just a year, if I understand.
Yes, yep.
Well, and like most of us, just kind of working the other way. So, you know, there's so many guys on my staff that went to school here and found their wives, you know, so she was in reverse. And guess who she married? A former football player.
Yeah.
So.
And my dad said when I accepted this job back here full time, he was like, well, great, now she's going to marry some farm boy or something. I was like, ew, no, I would never. But here I am.
Well, it's all worked out, I think.
It has. It really has.
Yeah, it might talk about just, again, we touched a little bit with the number of injuries that you guys have had to deal with this year. Have you ever been a part of a situation where you've seen so many on just one side of the ball, like the offense got decimated earlier this year?
No, that was really tricky. It made things really complicated. And, you know, obviously our best interest is the health of the student-athlete, but, you know, we work really closely with the coaches, and we want success, too. You know, the kids – we want the kids to play because the kids want to play, but it has to be safe. So it was a tough balance for a while there.
And I know, Rich, just watching the program through the years, I think Northwest has just been blessed with such great medical care through the years.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's just it's beyond the level of care. They're an extension of our coaching staff. They get to know the student athletes. They formulate, you know, form relationships with them. They know them on a personal level. You know, that's the thing that I appreciate so much about both these guys, is that they take the time to have relationships with our players. And so when something's wrong, they feel very comfortable to get with them so that they can get the care that they need.
And is there any other team that you know of that has a team physician on the sidelines game in and game out like what Northwest?
Gosh, I don't know, but I'm blessed to have the guy that we have. You know, I really don't. I don't pay attention really that much to anybody else. It's just he's been such a mentor to me over the years, not just as a you know, not just in football, but in life. You know, I think that there are certain people that you try and emulate. And if goodness gracious, if you can have the impact on the world that Pat Haar has had on, you know, this community and our university, I would say I'd had a pretty good career.
Hey, Doc, do you know of any other programs that are kind of set up where they have somebody on the sidelines like you?
I'm sure there are. I mean, you know, you read about people who, somebody's been with a high school team for 60 years or things in a smaller community. It's more common in a smaller community, in a smaller collegiate setting, than there is in a major metropolitan area. But, you know, I've mentored a lot of kids, and I tell them, you know, if they're going into a practice and they want to get into the community, why, go volunteer to help out with sports, because that's your best avenue.
And Liz, what's it mean for you to know that you got Doc Haar on the sidelines?
That's like a safety blanket all the time. He mostly keeps me sane and makes sure my blood sugars are good. But no, it's great. I mean, it's not that he's there. I mean, you can have doctors that are on the sideline. It's having a physician there that cares and knows the kids and wants to be a part of everything. It's nice. You know, I always have him back there to kind of make sure I'm doing okay and we're all good and there's nothing that he can't help with, so it's great.
You know, the other thing with the experience piece is that, you know, shoot, I guess when you do it long enough, I get surprised because I've done it 30 years now, and I always get, every once in a while, I get something I haven't seen. But, I mean, to have somebody with that level of experience who's had, you know, so many experience with the different types of injuries that people suffer and how, you know, just having that library of things to go back on to try is really advantageous for our program.
I would imagine there's not a lot that you haven't seen on the playing field.
No, unfortunately, it goes from you know, a ton of minor injuries to serious injuries, and you know, I pray every pileup that everybody gets up.
Yeah.
And that's a successful play, no matter how it ends. If everybody gets up off the field, well, I'm happy.
No doubt about that. And, again, it's just, football is just such a collision sport to a large degree out there where you just have to be ready for about anything.
Well, that's why you got to pay attention. You know, I try to follow the line of scrimmage so I can kind of see what's going on. But, you know, I'm a shrimp among the trees on the sideline. I got to fight my way to make sure I can get to where I need to be. But, you know, it's there's no place I'd rather be on Saturday. You know, my biggest connection with this team is that I delivered Elijah Green. So whenever Elijah has a big game, I'm giving a big fist bump.
Well, speaking of Elijah, he had a big play on Saturday.
Yes, he
too.
Did.
Yeah, the fake punt. You know, we had been working on that for a few weeks. I really didn't want to. I didn't know that I wanted to use it or not, just because we were ahead. But I wanted to get another score before half. And, you know what, it's one of those that you can probably only use once. So, you know, we ran it. He executed it. His ball security wasn't very good late. He tried to hurdle that guy, and the ball's sitting out here. But he did a good job with it.
So what was the reaction with – I know you guys have been working that in practice, and everybody knew it was coming, but I imagine he's been getting some comments from his teammates throughout this
week. Oh, yeah, you should have seen the sidelines. So that's one of those fun things to go back and look at on huddle, everybody jumping up and down. And, you know, it's you know, something I'll add in just as a different dynamic. It's amazing to me when I watch – so I'll go back and I watch film, and I watch so much film, you'd be amazed at all the little things I see when you watch rewind 100 times. These two get pretty animated on the sidelines when we're doing well. And I've seen several examples of jumping up and down and running and fist bumps, and I'll hear their voices. And, you know, it's amazing kind of when you think back what you hear and what you see. It's not, yes, they're taking great care of our kids, but they're as passionate about our program as we are.
Now, I think taking this another step here, going back to that field goal in Warrensburg back a few years ago at the end, I believe caught you on tape there jumping up and down on that as well.
Probably so, yeah. There's also on the several lateral deal. I showed off my speed because I was running stride for stride with Kevin Berg down the sideline when we started.
That's one of the fun things about athletics. You can catch a lot of things like that.
No doubt about it.
And again, we are broadcasting live at A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville on In the Trenches. We'll come back and have more for you right after this timeout.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the United States Air Force, offering more than 130 career choices, education, benefits, and more. Full-time opportunities are available now. For more information, Technical Sergeant Katrina Smith can be reached at 816-341-8227 or airforce.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from United Country Property Solutions, LLC, welcoming Phil and Amy Schreck to the Maryville team. United Country Property Solutions specializes in selling land and country homes serving Missouri and Kansas. Brokers Bob Carlson and Dan McChristie.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to A&G Restaurant on In the Trenches with the coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. I'm John Coffey, and we are broadcasting live this evening from A&G. And with us on our special guest for today, Dr. Pat Haar, the team physician, and Liz Thiemann, the head athletic trainer for football at Northwest Missouri State, along with head coach Rich Wright. And you guys have been around the program for a few years here, and especially with Dr. Haar. And when you think back through the years, not only have you treated a lot of athletes coming through, but you've also been present for a lot of athletic history at Northwest.
Yes, you know, between the high school and the college, I'm sitting at about 1,300 football games in my lifetime. And there have been some epic battles. Two that stand out were the first game at Arrowhead, how electric that was, night game, big opponent, and we blew them off the field. I mean, it was just what a perfect setting, Chris Beaving. But I think the probably the one that sits in my mind the most is the first time we played at Sporting KC in a national championship. You know, 22-plus thousand people in the stands, and all but maybe 500 of them were Northwest fans. When we were in the tunnel getting ready to come out on the field, the roar of the crowd just made the hair stand up on your arm. It's like, holy cow, this is really big time. And how that game went, you know, it was just perfect. You know, everything, the execution was perfect, the day was perfect, the celebration was perfect. Hard to beat that.
I had no doubt about that. And Liz, what comes to mind for you watching this team play?
Yeah, that's tough. I have two that come right to my mind just because they're, I think, fresh. But the first one is when we played Pitt State last year. And I think the final score was 20 to 19 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that whole game, I was just screaming my head off. Like, it was a back-and-forth battle. And oh, man, it was so good. And I just remember the final thing with Caden Davis catching that ball at the end there. That was just awesome. I remember that. I think I lost my voice for, like, a week after that. And then, honestly, this past weekend was – or not this past weekend, but Washburn was really, really fun. I mean, those guys dug themselves out of an injury hole, and I mean, you got to be proud of the kids that play there, you know? They're overcoming so many different things that nobody sees, you know? Nobody knows what they're going through every single day, all the things that they're battling, and it was awesome. It was a great game.
Yeah, I think that will go down in the annals as one of the greatest games at Northwest, especially a home game.
Yep.
We've had some great battles on the road as well, but at halftime and at the end of the ball game, come back and score with just a little over 20 seconds in each of those drives, just something else.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, and it speaks to the character of our kids. And to touch on what Liz said, I mean, we were down 7 starters in that game, and you know, offensively, you know, the 6 of them were on the offensive side of the football, and those kids found a way. They operated under, you know, some serious duress. We gave up the score to take the lead, and, you know, we just plugged right back down the field and cold banged that field goal through, and it was a big win for us.
You know, I think not only just from the athletic standpoint, but the character of the players, not only in that game, but you look through the years, some of the times that Northwest has been down and really had no right to come back and win a game, and they found a way to get it done, and I think just goes to just the base of this program and the type of kids that you bring in to start with.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they believe that they're going to win every football game they play in, and that doesn't always, you know, end up coming to fruition, but just having that mindset, I think, is really huge. And you know, it goes back to the type of kids that we recruit and who we want to surround ourselves with and the culture we try to create.
And what's amazing, Doc, when you're talking about the games you remember, you didn't mention the 4 overtime win in the national championship game in 99. We've had so many fun games that
it's a wonder that all of us didn't have a heart attack that day. It was, I mean, you talk about a game that we probably shouldn't have won, down 30 points in the fourth quarter, for crying out loud.
Yep.
And that, you know, I've probably watched that game 30 times at least, you know. And, you know, it's just as exciting each time. I mean, I never get bored with it, I'll tell you that.
You know, funny, weird story about that, Doc. When I was I was at another school at that time. You know, I'd gotten done with my graduate assistant, gotten a full-time job, and it was our banquet that day. And so I had Sarah recorded on the VCR at the time. So I'm recording on a VHS. There was none of the, you know, the direct play and, you know, direct TV and all that stuff. But at any rate, she said, how long do you want me to set it for? And I go, you've got to set it for like 3.5 hours or 4 hours. I want to watch the whole thing. I'm going to miss it. It's going to be over by the time I get home, you know, yada, yada, yada. In the door I walk, and the game is still on.
And so I watched an hour and a half of it, and, you know, there was no need to rewind because, I had gotten all caught up. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think if I remember right, about that same time, Chris Greissen was with Arizona Cardinals. I think the game started when they were flying out from Arizona to get to Washington for their game the next day. And you landed, and the game was still going on. And I think the entire team was watching the end of that in the airport lounge, if I understand that story right.
Yeah. There's so many stories. I mean, and when you look at, the last quarter century of Bearcat football, it depends on which player you're talking to.
Yeah, no doubt.
Each class has a game or two that they'll never, ever forget.
Mm-hmm.
They can recount the plays, the calls. It's like it happened yesterday, but it could have been 20 years ago, and those kids can repeat it when you listen. That's the fun of when they come back and you listen to them. You ask them about something. I remember at the Hall of Fame banquet in 2012, we had a lineman who came up to me and said, "I remember you, Doc R." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I remember you." He says, "Yeah, I remember you sewing up my hand during the game." I said, "I don't think you numbed it up." I said, "I'm sure I did."
there's one game that I think tends to get a little bit overlooked, in my mind, was one of the biggest games in the history of the program. It was in 96 that went up in Omaha, the first playoff win that Northwest had there. Because mm-hmm. that was kind of the coming out party for the football team, saying, hey, yep. we've arrived. And from that point on, this yep. program has just gone forward.
Yep, yeah. I was the second-year GA during that. And, up until that time, Northwest had never won a football or a playoff game.
That's right.
There was a lot that went right for us on that play because Jesse Haynes actually ran the wrong route. And but it ended up going up the seam, and Greg slipped on the play. Yep. We lost a block at the tackle position, and we caught the football and won the football game. And from that moment on, Northwest has been pretty dominant in the Division II level.
Yeah, and the field condition just got worse as that day went along there too.
It was an awful cold, freezing rain day. But it does not compare to the day at Duluth. I can assure you of that.
Gosh.
You want to talk about cold. Yeah. You remember when Jake Soy split his lip and it froze?
Yeah.
Before he got off the sideline? 36 below is cold, I promise you, when you're sitting right off Lake Superior.
My favorite story of that game, Rod Williams rolled his ankle. And I had to take him up to the locker room so I could look at it. I mean, there's no way you could do it on the sideline. But we got up to the locker room. I had to thaw out his shoe to get it off and peel down his socks, thaw them out, and look at his ankle. And I said to Rod, I said, "Well, I don't think you need any more ice. You've had plenty so far."
I guess a rare benefit of a cold day there.
Oh, my gosh. It was... Yeah.
Also, when you deal with the athletes, just I imagine there's some kind of pretty funny stories about just convincing them that maybe they're not hurt quite as bad as they think they are.
Well, it's all relative because our kids, the hardest job I have is keeping them off the field, I've had to carry helmets and hide helmets and stuff with kids who we took out because they had a concussion or concussion-like injury, and they'll be up and down trying to find a helmet from one of their co-players to put it on so they can go back in. But that's probably honestly, I'd be disappointed if they didn't have that attitude.
Yeah.
But that's just their DNA. I mean, they came here to play, they're going to play, and it's my job and Liz's job to make sure that they do play, but play safely. And it's
right.
Sometimes it's a bit of a chore.
Oh, no doubt. And how's the technology changed, too, with what you do out there? And really for both you and Liz here, it seems like technology is something that's ever-changing in training.
Yeah, I think that's something that, as a staff, we try to pride ourselves on, is staying on top of the latest technologies. Matt's really great at reaching out to representatives for different sales companies, and we can try stuff out and see what works and see what doesn't work. And then we're fortunate to have the boosters. If we need something, they're always more than willing to kind of help us with that stuff. But no, lately we've gotten all sorts of new kind of toys and gadgets that we like to try out and the guys really like, and really does help them get better faster. So it's incredible.
So two things you need to ask her about. You need to ask her, number one, and I'm doing my Austin Powers, the laser. Okay. So you can ask her about the laser. And the second is that she does acupuncture. And certified in it, and how that helps kids.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
So the laser was a rental. We had to give it back. But it's a class 4 laser. It's incredible. Basically, it just does a form of really deep heating that can bring more blood to the area and speed up healing and speed up just that healing process. So that was really useful. We used that on everybody for the past 3 weeks, pretty much. It's pricey, so we're trying to find a way to see if we can make it work. But we've got other things we kind of want to look into as well. The acupuncture Coach Wright's referring to is actually dry needling. It's really similar to acupuncture, but acupuncture is based off of meridians in your body. So like if you have shoulder pain, you needle your forehead. But this is like you go right to the joint and right to the area and kind of get after it with these really microfilament thin needles. I love it. I needle everybody. I think it's super effective. I think they kind of laugh at me upstairs sometimes.
She's a witch doctor.
Coach Cunningham calls it noodling, but
well, I can attest that it works. I hurt my back earlier this year and had a little bit of that done back in early September. So that's amazing the difference that it makes with something like that.
Yeah, and then there's some states that don't actually allow athletic trainers to do dry needling, and Missouri is not one of them, which is great. But if you go over to Kansas, those athletic trainers aren't allowed to do it. So we're all certified now on staff, which is great, and we utilize it a lot.
You know, another thing we might bring out, too, just the improvements in the athletic training facilities that you have. And I know, Doc, you had a chance to see the facility really grow through the years.
Well, when I started with Sandy Miller in 74, the training room was about the size of a typical home closet, not a master closet, a regular closet. I mean, it was probably maybe 8 feet wide and 15 feet deep, and there's one table. That was it. You know, kids would come in, and I would come in then. I'd come in on Monday night after work and sit them on the table, and they'd be lined up out the door. And our training room has grown exponentially, and we could always use more space to do more things. But our training room and our athletic training staff is top-notch. My job as a physician is so much easier because the people that are doing what I've asked them to do or what my colleagues have asked them to do, bam, 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 it's right on. And, you know, they make my job easy and enjoyable because I know that what needs to be done is going to get done. And if it doesn't work, we try to figure out what will work. And if it doesn't work, then we try to make it ready for another week. That's kind of the way we do business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you ever saw, I mean, just the level of detail that Liz does on a day-to-day basis, you know, she's obviously doing, you know, she's handling the day-to-day cases. She's treating injuries that are not, you know, not people that are going to not be on the field, but she's got to handle that. She's got to do treatments for that. Then she's dealing with your longer-term projects. You know, every day I get an email update on the health of our football team and, you know, the detail that she goes through with that and return to play and timeline and plan. And just, she's pretty organized.
Yeah, there's
no doubt about it.
I'd lose my head if I wasn't.
Well, you about have to be because you look at a football program, you know, what, 100 or so kids? Or, you know, I don't know exact total there, but in that range, isn't it?
About 140.
Yeah.
You know, and not only is she, dealing with the day-to-day, you know, physical injuries, she's dealing with mental health, she's dealing with, you know, things that they have going on in their lives. She's almost like a surrogate mom to a lot of the kids on this football team.
I get a lot of phone calls from parents, but they're mostly good, or mostly you can smack my son if you need to. So,
well, I imagine the mental health aspect is something that in athletic training has really become more important as the years go along too. But that maybe early on in the field that wasn't something that was considered important, but now it really is an important aspect.
Yeah, it's talked about a lot more, and you know, you get a team like football, and you got a lot of macho egos and macho things going on. But you know, at the end of the day, if someone's struggling, we know them well enough to know something's going on. And I think everybody on Coach Wright's staff and, you know, our staff is totally comfortable saying like, hey, you know, what's going on? And you know, we really don't know, I think we really make a difference with that, because sometimes they just need a place to let it out, and then you feel better after that.
Yeah, I know, Rich, too, you've talked about in the past certain cases where the concern of the student-athlete that you bring in, not only just on the field, but off the field, that you've taken care of some things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, you're not in this to win football games. You're in this to develop kids. That's really what it's all about. It's not just what they're doing for you on the field. It's in all components of their lives. And, you know, hopefully you serve as a bridge between, you know, mom and dad and the real world. And, you know, if we're doing it right, you know, we give them a skill set and a tool set that'll last them for the rest of their lives. And then, you know, if you form the right type of relationships, that doesn't end when they leave here. You know, you get phone calls, you get people that come back and see you for good or bad, you know, and you're just kind of always there. And it's like, much like a relationship in a family. And we talk about families, but that's truly what it is. And these guys are a big part of our family. There is no way we could function without them.
And the hours that you guys put in are just phenomenal, too. But I imagine just it's worthwhile when you see the success that these players have on the field, off the field, and everything, that it makes your job that just feel that more worthwhile because of what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like a Saturday here.
And before we wrap things up here, I'll talk just briefly about Nebraska Kearney coming up. I know you've always said that option week's always a tough week for you, or one that you get a little nervous about, but UNK, a little bit different type of look of it with what they do with their option game.
Yeah, they're not a traditional option team. They do enough other stuff that, you know, they're not like a Harding or somebody like that, but I've been in a foul mood all week just like I usually am. So, you know, it's we've had a good, you know, we've had a full week of practice, I'll put it that way. So just excited to make the trip and take another test.
And it's always fun to be at this point in the season where you're playing meaningful games like this.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we've played our backs against the wall, and now we've got to try and dig ourselves out of it. And, you know, it's always interesting to see how the kids are going to respond. And so I'm just looking forward to the challenge.
All right, sounds good. That's in Kearney, Nebraska, this upcoming Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 1 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day. And I want to thank Dr. Hart and Liz Thiemann for being with us here tonight.
Thank you.
It's been a great show.
Blast.
All right, appreciate it. And, Coach, always good to have you here.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, guys.
I'm John Coffey, and we'll be back here again at ANG next Thursday for another show on In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright.